Hello, I am Jennifer Pomeritz. I'm the Director of Legal Initiatives at the Rudd Center. I'm pretty much going to take off where Jennifer left off by talking about communities and schools, and also a little note on mobile marketing. I have no relationship. So I will be talking about mobile marketing and also schools, school property, which is actually unique when it comes to the law, which I will talk about, and then some state and local strategies basically to support the school environment. So the first thing, marketing is considered commercial speech, which is protected by the First Amendment. So we heard a lot of the problems of marketing, and one of the barriers that we have to stopping this environment of food marketing to children is that the First Amendment protects companies' rights to market. We have a strong argument that the First Amendment should not protect their right to market to children, but as it stands now, the Supreme Court is pretty strong on its views that corporations and commercial entities' speech are protected. So it's not the first route you want to go. And if you were at any other sessions about the interagency working group, and it's been very difficult to try to get them to change their ways except for through self-regulation. So the FTC has tried to work with the industry, trying to support better standards, but for the most part, they are the agency that regulates marketing to children. The TV, internet, radio, and mobile marketing is under the jurisdiction of the Federal Trade Commission. And the Federal Trade Commission does go after specific bad practices, but they have not undertaken a major rulemaking to address marketing as a whole like they did in the 70s, which was called KidFit. One thing that we're seeing from our research is that there's an emergent issue with mobile marketing. And so I'm going to touch on that before moving on to the schools because it's interesting and new and there's not that much on it, and not much research, but it's interesting. So the mobile marketing is subject to FTC controls just like the internet. So the child, Online Privacy Protection Act would apply to mobile marketing, and what we're seeing are text message ads that are sent directly to a child's phone. You would tend to have to sign up for these types of ads, but they can be sent directly to the phone, and some research out of our office showed that some companies do send daily text messages once you sign up. So this is definitely an area that probably is under the radar for a lot of parents because they wouldn't even know that their child was signing up for this. Cell phone carriers can, they do block what they consider spam, but if you sign up, that wouldn't be considered spam. And users can block certain numbers. But right now, these are parental controls that likely not that many parents know about. One of the major problems are branded game apps. So a lot of the pay apps might not be branded, but a lot of the free apps are branded, and a lot of times parents are downloading them to give their children to play with, and the parent might not know that it's really a branded game, and so instead of it just being pouring sprinkles on ice cream, they're branded sprinkles, and then the kids end up asking for that brand of sprinkles after playing the game, just like the research we saw in advert gaming. The CFPI AI has said that they do not think that apps should be covered under their self-regulatory pledges because parents have to download them. And we don't think that's a very convincing argument, especially since a lot of children need help to get onto the internet and to get onto different web pages, especially before they can read. They can't type in the URL. So there's really no excuse for the CFPI AI not covering it, just like it should be covering the packaging of food. And there's also some independent rating systems, this entertainment software rating board, and actually Verizon and Apple have some independent rating systems. Most of these are geared towards protecting children from violence and sexual content. We've never seen any that include anything that has to do with food, and this is another area that could be changed to include junk food in their analysis, and then at least if parents are interested, they can know where to limit the exposure to the children. And there are also ways to that companies could expand the parental controls by not only just blocking a spam number, but actually having it that you have to opt into certain numbers, so children can only call and you get receive and give text messages to people within their circle. And also, you can block certain websites, but we could have it expanded so it's the reverse, and they can only get onto certain websites, so they don't have the rest of the internet at their fingertips. So this is just a little note on mobile marketing. I think there's a real future for research here. And so I'm going to move on to the school environment. In the most recent studies, we're still seeing that a lot of schools have unhealthy sugary beverages and unhealthy foods. And also, almost half of schools still have advertising for unhealthy food in their schools. According to the FTC's earlier report, this would break down into 90% of these ads for sugary beverages and 10% for fast food. So if you want to limit marketing to children, obviously the first thing we would all agree with is that you should limit the offering of unhealthy food in the schools first, so children don't have access to the unhealthy foods. But this actually matters for a First Amendment issue as well. Schools are considered what are called non-public forums, so they are special for First Amendment analysis. So while it's very difficult to regulate food marketing in the wider environment where adults are walking, when you're in a school, it's a special environment. So the government actually has much more leeway to regulate marketing in schools. And the Supreme Court has said that the government's allowed to reserve the property for its lawfully dedicated use, which is education, and not for marketing. The Supreme Court's also recognized that children are a captive audience when they're in schools. And the one thing about the non-public forum is that the government can't discriminate based on viewpoint. So this means that a school can't say, yes, advertising, let's use a very obvious example. Like you could, most of the cases have to do with a lot of like reproductive rights. So a school can't say, yes, only pro-choice ads can be in the school, but no anti-choice ads can be in the school. So you have to say no reproductive conversation, and that's viewpoint neutral. So when it comes to school foods, schools can actually limit through their contracts what is advertised in schools, just like they can say only water can be sold. They can also say only water can be advertised. And then the second would be to enact viewpoint neutral restrictions, and some of these would be banning all commercial speech, or banning all speech about food and beverages. And then if you're going to allow food and beverage ads, you would want to ban the items not permitted to be sold on school campuses. And again, this goes back to limiting the actual offerings in order to ban the speech about what's not permitted on school campuses. One major thing we're seeing is that you really need an enforcement clause. So some schools have successfully passed these types of policies, but because there's no method to enforce them, it actually turns out it doesn't matter that they have a policy and no one's enforcing it and nothing's actually changed. So that's very important for any type of law you put in place to have an enforcement method. Now, school buses are another emerging area. A lot of states are trying to pass laws in allowing school districts to sell advertising space on their school buses to make money. The goal here in this area is that you want to align your school buses with the school property so they will be a non-public forum. And if you don't, what might happen is the school bus could be considered a designated public forum. And in this world of the First Amendment jurisprudence, it's like a city transit bus. And a lot of times city transit authorities are forced to take ads that they don't think are appropriate because it's a designated public forum. And so I'm going to explain this a little more, but the definition of a designated public forum is that it's government property not traditionally open to public discourse, but that the government opens for profit. And so what happens is public discourse is like religious speech and political speech, and when the government opens it up and says, oh, we're just going to sell ads, but then they don't follow what I'm going to tell you next, they end up having to accept ads for things that they don't want to. And this can happen to a school bus. And so all these states that are thinking about passing laws haven't really thought this through, that then they can end up getting sued for not accepting ads, but if they become a designated public forum, they might be forced to. So I wrote a paper on this. I know this is a lot of First Amendment law. Maybe not all of you are lawyers, so you can check out my paper, American Journal of Public Health, if you're interested. But So for the school buses, the officials would want to align the bus with school property in order to maintain more control, which is a non-public forum. Again, children are clearly a captive audience in a school bus, and even marketers who sell advertising space in school buses use the same words. There's one website that says, advertise on the bus, it's an unparalleled value to target children. You can reach them up to 80 times a day. And so you not only have to consider the interior of the bus, but also exterior. Does your community want ads for soda driving around picking up children in your community? So school officials for buses, if you align with the non-public forum, you can always ban all ads. That's always an option. If not, you must have a policy. And the part of making this just a money-making scheme is to ban all religious and political speech, so you would really only be trying to sell space to make money, which, by the way, the news reports are showing that that schools don't make enough money that this even is worth it, so I wouldn't suggest that this is even a remotely good idea for advertising scheme. But the reservation of the right to reserve to reject ads is not a policy, and so if that is your school district's policy, actually it's not a policy and you can be considered a designated public forum and forced to take ads. So again, viewpoint neutral guidelines and really having to enforce the policy. And so reasonable viewpoint neutral guidelines for food would be to prohibit food, as we said, prohibit food not sold in schools, again, if you align it with the property. And then I have a bunch of more reasonable guidelines in the paper. And then just finally, state and local governments can support schools. The state and local governments have authority under their police power, which is to protect health, safety, and welfare. They can regulate the location of new unhealthy food store retail establishments away from schools. They can regulate the sales within retail establishments, for example, requiring unhealthy items to be behind the counter or having age limits for young children to not be able to purchase unhealthy items. Serving size restrictions like happening in New York City, D.C. is considering one. And then one lesson we can learn from the tobacco world is to incorporate the legal restrictions into the retail owner's license that allows them to function in the community, because then a violation of the law is a violation of the license, and this is actually a much stricter penalty than some random fine that probably wouldn't get enforced anyway. So in summary, mobile ads need attention from all of us, and schools have the most authority. I would really urge your communities to try to work on restricting ads in schools and the school buses, and have your community support having a healthy retail environment for everyone. Thank you.